Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Well, here we go with episode 102.
And Ernie.
Of the Steam Room.
And Ernie, I'm bittersweet for Chuck today.
Is part of this how painful that was to lose to Alabama?
That's the bitter part.
Yes.
That's the bitter part. I will say this. Nothing can get me in a bad mood, so I got to get a few things off my chest.
Is this under the first of all umbrella?
It's on the first of all umbrella.
So we're jumping right into first of all.
Yeah, we're jumping right into
first of all. We're jumping right into it. Okay, here we go. Buckled in. I'm ready.
Being at the Iron Bowl, number one, anytime
Auburn versus Alabama for you who may not know.
First of all, everybody know who at the Iron Bowl is.
Not everybody.
Yeah. Listen, y'all rivalry is Georgia Tech. Wow, can't beat the smart kids.
Oh, yeah, you can.
Yes, you can. The worst, I love going to Auburn. It's just awesome. Got to see Tim Cook. It's always a pleasure to see him. See, and Tequila Spice, we watched the game together. I haven't felt that bad after an Auburn, since the Virginia game in the Final Four. We thought we had won, and they get ref game. Like, I felt so bad for those kids. And Bruce Pearl, that was heartbreaking. This was a close second.
Oh, really? So this did not overtake that?
It didn't overtake it because that was the Final Four.
Yeah.
We would have played for the championship. So that's on
the
whole.
This is the Iron Bowl, man.
Oh, man. Ernie. You know, it was a great game. Well, for one of them, it was a great game.
It was a great college football game.
It was, but the reason you feel bad, Auburn blew the game. If you go back and look, number one, the punt. If we don't fumble the punt, they don't get the ball. And then fourth and 31. And, you know, there's been a lot of debate about rushing two guys.
Right.
And the defense has to run around back there for 10 seconds or more. It's hard to keep track of everybody. So, there's some
truth. It's still a heck of a throw.
It's a heck of a throw.
I mean, good gracious.
But, you know, Ernie, I will say this, not just because of the Iron Bowl. That's one of my pet peeves on Hail Marys and things like that. I never understand why they don't rush a bunch of people. Because on all those plays, it always takes those guys forever to get down the field.
And in that time, you could have him under pressure and force a throw.
Yes. And like, I wish we could get, like I say, because I never try to act like I know about football. I'm just a fan. And most fans think they know football, but they don't. I would love to get somebody who was actually like a coach who could say, why do we, in all Hail Mary situations, why do we only rush like one or two guys and expect the defensive backs to cover or knock the ball down?
And we welcome to the Steam Room Hugh Freeze. No, just kidding.
Hey.
Would that be your first question to Coach Freeze?
To the defensive coordinator. Because that's his call. But it, like I say, I'm not saying it just because of what happened in the Iron Bowl. Every time I'm watching a game when they say, well, it's going to be a Hail Mary. And it works probably one out of 20 times. And I'm always saying to myself, why don't they just rush a bunch of people? Because it's going to take a long time for all those guys to get down the field 30, 40 yards.
You bring up an interesting point, though, because I'm not saying I know football like crazy, and that's why I'm asking you a question.
Yeah.
Can a head coach not override what a defensive coordinator says they're going to do?
That's a great question. I don't know.
If they're on headset. They're all in communication. And the guy says, hey, here's what we're
doing. But they all do it.
But here's our plan. Yeah. You know, couldn't you say, oh, no. We want to pressure this dude.
I would love to answer that question, to be honest with you. I would love to coach.
That'd be a coaching question.
That would be a coaching question.
Next time we have a coach on.
I'm going to ask him.
A football coach.
Yes.
Not a basketball coach,
yes,
but a football coach
for sure.
Yeah.
So that's a good place to start. Congratulations to Alabama. Tell you what, though. I can't go this weekend because I got a big event coming up this weekend. But I would love to be at the Alabama-Georgia game. Are you going?
I don't know yet.
You know, let me tell you something, all you fools on television. There's a lot of y'all. Alabama or Georgia going to the playoffs. This notion that if Alabama wins, they're not going because they behind Texas, and Texas beat them 3 months ago. If you know anything about sports, what happened 3 months ago has nothing to do with today, tomorrow, next week. Alabama or Georgia are going to the playoffs. And I don't want to hear that Texas stuff. We play in the best conference, and you just cannot keep the SEC champion out of the playoff. That just ain't going to happen.
See, how about Georgia if God forbid, the long winning streak ends at the hands of Alabama, and that's one loss.
I will say this.
Does it depend on how close the game is?
That's what I was getting ready to say. If they lose a heartbreaker by a field goal or something like that.
Or like the Iron Bowl?
Yes. I think Georgia still deserves to go because they have played great all year. I think it'll be a travesty. Number one, I don't have a dog in that fight. But I can't wait to watch it. I'm looking forward to seeing that game, the highlights and everything.
Well, what are you going to be doing? Is that another part of First of All?
Yes. Shout out to my partner, Dan Marley.
Mm-hmm.
We got the member at Whisper Rock this weekend, where we are the defending champion.
Whoa.
And we both been grinding. I've been working so hard on my game. It was so awesome last year because, you know, we got about 25 tour pros at my course, and it's great seeing them all and everything. But the members are fantastic, and I cannot wait to get there. It's a two-day event.
Starting on
Friday.
Friday.
And it's a two-day event. And last year, man, I played well. Marley's a hell of a player.
You play some alternate shot in that too?
Yes, yes. And Marley's like a scratch golfer.
Mm-hmm.
And he plays every single day. Oh, that's because he ain't got no job. But, man, it was so much fun. To being kind of – well, that's not true. Being under pressure, man, it was so awesome and so fun. So
we were talking to Henrik Lundqvist last week on the pod.
Yes.
And he said the thing he missed most now that he's retired –
the pressure.
Is the pressure.
Yeah.
And that kind of competition and that kind of focus on, you know what, when we're playing during the week with your buddies and that's a two-footer, pick it up, let's go.
Yep.
And not anymore. No. And there might be just a little right to left in that two-footer, Chuckster.
Yeah.
You find your knees knocking sometimes?
I was nervous. I'm not going to lie. But, you know, Marley is such a good player. He takes a lot of pressure off of me, but I played very well, and I'm really looking forward to this weekend. So shout out to my members at Whisper.
Defending champs. Wow.
We're going to play well again.
Is that going to be available streaming somewhere, or am I just going to have to watch the highlights?
You're just going to – I've seen you the highlights. I've seen the highlights.
Very good.
And another thing about the playoffs, y'all are just going to screw Florida State. That ain't right. I'm not a Florida State fan, but I don't understand how y'all can drop them if they're winning. I don't think that's fair. They have a loss, and especially if they win the ACC championship, they won 56-14 and they dropped them from 4-5. I just don't understand that.
Sounds like there's an agenda there.
It is an agenda, and that's what bothers me about committees like that. It ain't cool. It ain't right. You know, these kids, man, they go out there and bust their hump all summer, lifting weights, running wind sprints, practicing 2-a-days in the middle of the summer. You go undefeated.
And they lost who? They lost
a quarterback.
Yeah.
But they still
but
won.
But they still won the game.
They won that, and they won again last week. And if they win the ACC championship.
Yeah, Jordan Travis we're talking about.
Yes. And if they lose, if they win the ACC championship this weekend against Louisville, they're not going to get in. And the debate's going to, and see, and it's just really unfair. I hate strength of schedule. That's one of my pet peeves about college football, strength of schedule. The reason I say that is, why is it my fault y'all team suck? That drives me crazy, Ernie. They're like.
And how a good win early in the year, like, yeah. Wow, that's an impressive win. Yeah. Well, maybe it's not an impressive win because look at. Yeah, and then all of a sudden, well, you haven't played anybody. Well, only played them when everybody in the world was watching.
Because, you know, people were criticizing Georgia's schedule.
Yeah.
And I was like, that ain't Kirby Smart's fault. Like you play the teams on your schedule. I mean, and like, especially if you're in the SEC, there are really no easy games. I mean, when you go to Florida, Georgia, I mean, obviously Kirby's on the road right now, but that game was always a big deal.
Right.
Auburn, Georgia is a big deal. I hate this strength of schedule argument because, like I say, it ain't my fault y'all team suck. That's y'all fault. Hey, and so that's it. But last and definitely not least, obviously, y'all know we got the new show starting with Gail King tomorrow, King Charles. Just for the record, I don't call myself King Charles. It's Gail King and Charles Barkley for the dummies out there.
So second billing.
Yes. And I'm so excited. You know, we were going over a Zoom call yesterday, and Gail had me on the floor laughing. So I'm not going to give this magazine any love or credit. They called her for a response about the show has no chance of being successful because me and Gail hate each other. And
where does that come from, man?
That's what had me on the floor dying laughing. Gail says, Charles, did you see the article? I said, what article, Gail? He says, how much we hate each other. The show's got no chance of being successful because we're bickering behind the scenes.
And are you really?
We are.
What are you bickering about?
You know, I'm trying to figure, since we technically haven't done a show, I'm trying to figure out what we're bickering about.
Maybe you're bickering on Zoom calls behind the scene. Is that what you're doing?
Me and Gail made a pact. When we talk bad about each other, we won't do it publicly. We'll do it behind each other back. Because if you talk bad.
That's what's happening.
If you talk, like when I don't, as much as, you know, I hate Shaq. But I only talk bad about him behind his back. We treat each other great on the show. Same thing with Kenny. I'm not a big Kenny fan, but I don't.
Same with you and me.
No, Ernie, you're the Godfather. We don't talk bad about the Godfather. But like, I was just laughing because they called her people to make a comment. And I said, Gail, this is it. That's the thing that bothers me a lot about reporters, to be honest with you. Like, you can throw anything out there and see if it sticks. Let me tell you something. Gail is the only reason I'm doing the show. I got a lot of love and admiration for her. So King Charles debuts tomorrow, Wednesday night, 10 o'clock Eastern. Cannot wait. It should be fun. Hey, listen.
On CNN.
On CNN.
Yes.
And let me tell you something. As I told the crew, so we're meeting with the team yesterday, discussing all the topics, getting ready for the week. Got another one today because it's going to be a fluid show because we're going to be discussing what's happening.
Right.
And you know, guess who our special guest is tomorrow?
Who is it?
Steve Kerr.
Really?
Yes. We're going to talk a little basketball, obviously. We're going to talk about his father got killed.
Right. He's a great guy to talk about.
He's a great guy. And first, he's a great dude, but very few people have firsthand knowledge of what goes on over there. And, you know, obviously he got a lot to say. And the one thing I admire about him and Greg Popovich, man, they are real dudes. You know, Steve Kerr talks about gun violence all the time. Same thing with Popovich. They are not afraid. They're not worried about, you know, a lot of
coaches. What are people going to think if I say this? Yeah.
And let me tell you something. Everybody's opinion matters, even if you disagree with it. The janitor opinion matters. The secretary opinion matters. The trash man opinion matters. So we got to get away, like, well, you're not important, you're irrelevant. So we're going to have fun. We're going to do our best. We hope people like the show. And that's it.
Yeah. And yeah, stop dismissing folks whose opinions you do not agree with. Mr. Or because of
it's crazy.
What they do. Yeah, exactly. Civil discourse.
Yes. Hey, listen, if you have friends who only agree with you, you're a loser anyway. Anybody who have friends only agree with them.
Hey, you need to have friends who tell you no sometimes.
Tell you no, but also, hey, look at it from this point of
right.
view.
Right, exactly.
And I was like, oh, I got to give a shout out to my boy Gary before I finish up on Gail and everything. Gary Godfrey, I love you like a brother. Carrie Good. Man, I got so much respect for you two guys doing the Carrie Gary Challenge.
Who won?
I don't know the answer. I haven't looked at all the numbers. But I just want to thank you guys for putting yourself out there. If you got a disease like that, that's brutal.
ALS.
And if you know anybody with ALS, just give them a call and tell them you appreciate them, you love them. Because, it's brutal. And Gary... Like I said, I don't know Carrie as well, but Gary and his wife, Carol, they're the most unbelievable couple I've ever met in my life. They got this thing like they have so much. They're trying to raise awareness and money, obviously, but they have the best attitude under the circumstances. I was like, I ain't going to lie. That would be brutal for me, but Gary and Carol, man, they have the best attitude. I mean, it's amazing.
Yeah. So we've covered the Iron Bowl.
Brutal.
We've covered golf.
Yes.
We've covered the new King Charles.
Yes.
Show. And next, we're going to talk some hoop.
I like it.
And you know who's going to be here?
Oh, I know.
Candace Parker. Not on some screen somewhere, but Candace Parker. Right here.
Wait, she's in the studio?
In the studio with us. Coming up next on The Steam Room. Back here on The Steam Room.
This is special, Ernie.
And this is it's great to have an in-studio guest, Candace Parker, who will be working tonight with us.
Who's not here?
Shaq.
Thank God we fired his fat ass.
So it's you and me and Kenny and Candace tonight.
Damn, we got better looking, and we lost 400 pounds. This is going to be big.
Yeah. Here we go. Yeah. I love it. I'm excited to
work
with
you guys. Wait, why are you mad at me? Those were straight facts. You're much better looking. We're probably losing about 275 pounds difference.
Down from 400.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I had to be factual because she called me out. I had to be like, it's probably about 275 pound difference there.
Yeah, and we welcome Candace not only to the Steam Room but to the show tonight, where it's the final night of group play in the in season tournament.
Can't wait.
With 8 games on the schedule, and they all mean something in terms of who gets to the knockout round and who does not. So I'm looking forward to it. It's going to be a lot to keep track of tonight, but it's going to be a lot of fun. Have you liked the IST so far?
I've loved it. We've done it over in Europe for quite some time. Like, that's a thing in Europe. You always have it before Christmas or early in the season, right after, you know, you get back from Christmas break. I love it. I wish all the teams played on the same day so that you could know the point differential, because I think you have an advantage when you're playing on the last day. You know how many points you have to win by, or if somebody loses, you know what I mean?
Right.
So I wish that all the teams kind of played on the same day and had the same advantage in that way.
Okay.
You know, I want to ask you a question that has nothing to do with the in-season tournament. You said something. When is the NBA and the WNBA going to step up and start taking better care of you women? Because you just said something. As long as you played basketball since college, you'd have to play in a foreign country. How frustrating is that? And how crazy is that, that have to supplement your income playing in a foreign country in your off season, basically?
You know, I think for that to happen, there's got to be some type of competition within the United States, to be honest with you. That kind of pushes the envelope, whether it's a league, whether it's travel, I don't know what it is. But I think there's got to be something that challenges the WNBA to be better. And, you know, you look at the history of the NBA and the supplemental leagues that kind of pushed the NBA to get better and to raise the bar. And I think that that's got to occur with the WNBA for them to truly grow.
Speaking of your WNBA and your third WNBA championship, and second straight, as a matter of fact, that's awesome. Was it frustrating because of the injury situation with your foot to not be front and center right there?
You know, it's so crazy. I think as you get older, you are humbled. No matter what you've done in the game, no matter how many points you scored, how many championships you won, at some point you are humbled. And this season, I think even coming into training camp, it was like the game is in an amazing place. Mm-hmm. And as a superstar, can I adapt? And I think that this team does an amazing job of everybody being ready, everybody uplifting, everybody. And I learned so much this year. I mean, Becky Hammon is one of the best coaches to coach basketball, period. And the way that she brings the best out of everybody and you're accepted for you. So this year did not go as I envisioned. You know, of course you want to be on the court and play and things like that. But I think I learned so much. And I was more disappointed to not play because I've worked so hard in my career to be able to play this style of basketball and to play for a coach like Becky. But at the end, with what, two starters out, getting hurt in game three, and then beating New York at New York with players that hadn't played more than 4 or 5 minutes in the playoffs all year, I think it was amazing to watch. And I learned a great deal like about myself and just about, you know, the game in general. I mean, everybody wants to be on the court when you win a championship, but this championship was special because of the group.
Physically, how are you right now?
Physically, I'm healing. My injury was bad. I broke my navicular bone 89% of the way. I was playing on it, and I didn't know. I mean, I knew something was wrong, but I didn't know. And then I had other stuff. I had like 20 bone spurs and some ligaments that I needed to fix on the outside of my ankle. And so we did that surgery in July, and it's a 4 to 6 month recovery. And so I'm feeling okay. I think I'm worried about life right now. Like, I have kids, I have young kids. I got to cross my son up at some point. I'm worried more so about like making sure that I can live life. Yeah. And so that's the biggest thing now. Basketball, yes, I would love to play again, but I'm worried about like walking, you know, walking up and down the street and being able to jog and do life things.
Yeah, you said something about as you get older, you get humble. Have you and Shaq had this conversation?
No, you get humbled. It has a way of humbling you.
Shaq
humbled, but you get humbled.
Shaq has not gotten that memo as you get older. Because he cannot give any big guy any credit because he compares them all to himself. It's kind of fun to sit there watching him. We'll be like, yo, man, he's a good player. He's not better than me. Like, yo, man.
That's pretty accurate.
Yeah. It's like, he's like, yo, man, why do you keep saying this guy's great? I said, that guy is great. He's like, he's not better than me. I'm like, check, don't compare everybody to yourself. I mean, he is fun to work with, but he drives. I call him Richard Petty because he is so damn petty.
Richard Petty. That's
pretty
good.
Yeah, he's petty. Petty White.
That's pretty good.
Oh, we got a bunch of them. So for you, how have you, you know, it's frustrating when you get older.
Man.
It sucks.
Man.
It sucks, doesn't it?
Because you look at things that you could do.
Yes.
And you know, your mind is like, yeah.
That's my last 2 years in NBA.
And your mind is like, listen, yo, work her. Yeah. They put her on you.
Yeah.
Go to work. And your body is like, excuse me.
Yeah.
And I didn't understand it. I remember I walked into the studio here my first year at NBA TV. And Isaiah Thomas was like, I was like, hey, Zeke, like, why did you retire? And he was like, it wasn't fun no more. He's like, people that I could bust their ass.
Yeah.
I could no longer do that. So it was not fun anymore. And he's like, some people can play a different role in a different position.
Not a great player.
But it's really hard for a great player to not be able to do that.
Yeah. So I sucked my last 2 years. And then people always ask me, like, how'd you know it was time to retire? I said, there's a guy playing against me who can't play dead and he's kicking my ass. I says, that, especially when you've been a great player like you have been, like, you'd be like, this lady can't play.
Yep.
And I can't do anything. That was the hardest part for me when I'd be like, yo, man, this dude, because it got so bad for me. I went to the coach and said, Rudy, Kevin Willis is a better player than me at this time. I will come off the bench. Because there is a huge advantage coming off the bench. You're not playing against the same level of players.
Mm-hmm.
Like, a lot of people don't understand that. They're like, I say, yo, man, go to the bench. He's like, why should I go to the bench? I said, well, you're not as good as the starters, first and foremost. I said, but you're going to be playing against lesser players, so you're going to shine more. So I went to Rudy, and I said, hey, can I come off the bench? He says, are you sure? I said, I'm not sure. I'm positive.
So is that, are those the 2 years when you had like 10 times as many pump fakes as you did points?
Well, yes. Yes. I had to see the chiropractor like 3 days a week because I was pump faking. And
nobody was buying
it. Nobody was buying it. Because the one thing I realized, and I talked to Larry Johnson about this one time, when he hurt his back, he wasn't explosive anymore. And when I wasn't explosive, you think 6'4 is short, it's like you're 6'2 out there when you're playing against big. Like, when you're young and explosive, size does not matter to any guys. But once you can't explode anymore, I says, you're not 6'4 and a half. You're 6'2 and a half. And all you're doing is out there, you're hoping you get to play against these young kids who are dominant rocks. You can just pump fake them and they go for the pump fake. When you play against a veteran guy, he's like, just staring at you. Are you two pump faking yet? Yo, man, stop messing
Wait
up my
me
gig.
When this is over.
Yes, exactly.
And
right.
I'll tell you, you know, this year, when the noise gets real quiet, that's when you know, like, because this year people are like, yeah, keep at it. Good job. And I was like, no, because I can't lie to myself, you know, in terms of, yes, I can make other people better and I can, you know, I would say play on, the team. But you know, and you cannot lie to yourself. And so I think, you know, I've always heard once you kind of know, give it one more year. So we gonna see if we get that one in a possible, but it's one of those things where it's like.
But you're ahead of the game though, because you said something interesting. And as a jock who didn't give a damn about the future, I mean, I've got so many needles stuck in my ass. I just wanted to play. They're like,
I've got so many needles stuck in my.
I was getting those.
Quickly erase that image, will you?
I was getting those Toradol shots.
Yeah.
You know, you get so many of those, mm-hmm. then that stops working. And then you go to DMSO, the stuff they use on horses. Mm. I'm like, yo, man, I don't, that's right. I had so many of those shots. I did make that sound late at night. That's it. But you know, as a jock, you just want to play.
Yep.
You just want to play. And Candace, I'm so proud of you for saying, hey, and I mean this until you're like, I ain't worried about basketball. I'm worried about the rest of my life. Because 99.9% of jocks do not have that perspective.
Listen, Chuck, I've had 8 knee surgeries. I just had a foot surgery. I had a shoulder surgery. I tore my labrum in my shoulder. I have degenerative discs in my back. At some point, like, I owe it to my kids because, listen, pride now is tough. Now, pride really will be tough if my 11-year-old son comes in and starts talking mess. Then I can't get up and, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so I think Halloween was like a awakening for me. Walking around Disneyland, awakening. Like, I'm super active in my everyday life.
Yeah.
I go play beach volleyball. I love going to the sand dunes. I love going to the beach, walking my dogs. I can't sacrifice that for just playing another year.
So you got dogs now. What happened to my pig?
Oh, my goodness. He always brings up the pig. Always talks about.
Why not?
He's always.
How's the pig?
The pig is no longer with our family. He's on a farm. He's good.
That sounds like a story you told the kids.
Boo is really on a farm, I promise.
Sure Boo should be on the kitchen table.
Boo, stop it. Boo is living a great life.
She had a daughter one time.
Do you visit Boo?
We don't visit Boo anymore. We correspond with the farm. And he's good. He thinks he's a dog.
Correspond with the farm.
Boo was a little thing when I first met him.
Mm-hmm.
He'd be great Christmas dinner right now.
He is huge. That's what he got, we call that
Christmas dinner in Alabama.
He got, yeah.
Hey, Candace, you know what? Chuckster and I often on this podcast talk about the joys of grandparenthood. Tell me about the joys of parenthood for you these days.
Oh, my goodness. My daughter is playing varsity volleyball and varsity basketball.
Wow.
In January, her basketball team is going to play my old high school team in Naperville,
really?
Illinois. So you talk about, I'm probably not even going to be able to be in the stands because I'm going to have my tissue in the corner. My son is just crazy. If I predict.
How old now?
21 months.
Oh, you've lost control there.
And he is, I mean, in his own, he does whatever he wants. And sometimes you're just like, why?
Once they become mobile, you've lost.
Like, you've lost, you know, and he just walks up and just knocks stuff off the table. And you're just like, for what? Why would you do that? But he's
I'm
a sweet guy.
21 months old, Mom. That's why.
Exactly.
So question for you on your daughter. Because I've been through this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you're in a between a rock and a hard place. Because you're like, I want to push you, but I can't be pushy. You know, then you she's playing two sports, so you probably lean one way or the other. How are you handling that?
It's so interesting because I think as a professional athlete, you're driven different.
Yeah.
Like, I remember I was driven by challenges. So my dad would just come in and tell me I couldn't do something, and then I would just wake up and try to do it. So I kind of struggle a little bit because Layla's not wired like that. Layla is a great teammate, loves playing. She's not in love with either game.
Yeah.
You know, she's not doing it on her own. And so I'm trying to show her that you have to put in individual time to be great at something,
yeah.
But I don't want to push her in any one direction. So I kind of do double dutch a little bit in how I'm parenting and things like that. But I guess my biggest thing with Layla is I want her to love whatever she chooses to do. And so I'm the parent at volleyball that, you know, I cheer and I cheer
Are
on and
loud?
Things like that. I'm loud. I am. But
you
I do
get on
have
refs?
No, I don't. Yeah, a little bit. A little bit. I am.
Do you get on refs loud? Do you get on refs loud to the point where other parents are like, whoa, whoa.
No. But I am kind of
just. Because there are parents who do that.
Yes.
Oh, you do that?
Well, I was hard.
Not anymore.
Let me make sure that.
So my daughter, she's been 5'10 her whole life since she was like two. And I had this.
I'd have to check that.
No, but Ernie, I had spent my entire life saying, I cannot wait till she's a teenager. I'm going to teach her everything about the game. So we started with soccer, volleyball.
Soccer is brutal, by the way.
Yeah, but then she played basketball. And I was watching, like you said, okay, I don't think she liked this. And I was like, okay, take a step back. She'll grow into it. And then I asked her one day, I says, Christiana, you like playing sports? She says, Dad, I don't like playing sports. And I was like, okay, you don't have to play if you don't want to play. You don't have to follow in my footsteps. You know, and I did like a good parent do, went in the other room and cried. because it was traumatic. Like I say, I had made up my mind, because she's 5'10". I was like, God, when she's good enough,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to teach her all the Kevin McHale moves and things like that.
Put him in the torture chamber.
Yes. But like I say, I put her in soccer, lacrosse, everything. And finally, I was like, okay, it's time to try basketball. And she just didn't like it. And it she's a great person. She's a great student. But like, I had this perception, like, I want you're Charles Barkley's daughter. I want you to be great at basketball or any sport.
Yeah. Let me ask you both this. Because look, you come from a different perspective when it comes to parents and their kids playing. I mean, because you're Hall of Famers. All right. You've got these incredible resumes. But what's your message to parents about their approach?
Shut the hell
to
up.
To their kids.
Shut the hell up. I mean that sincerely.
In what way?
You can't just go to the game and yell and scream at your kids and the officials and think automatically your kid's going to be good at sports. Like, I always, when parents ask me, I said, let your kid play all the sports and figure out which one they're like.
That's rare these days.
Yeah, because you can't, like.
Because everybody's told, no, pick one.
Yeah. Well, no, I don't, well, because you don't know what you're
going to. Not that parents are saying pick one, but a lot of the coaches are, pick one.
But you, Bernie, you don't know what you're going to be good at.
I know. I'm with you,
you know that. You know what I struggle, because when they do pick one, or when they do have a preference of one, everybody, and this is crazy right now, and I this is how I know I'm getting older. Everybody's worried about Instagram and posting and highlight videos. And my thing is like, go work and the cream always rises to the top.
Mm-hmm. Right?
I'm driving myself crazy. Like, you're working for the perfect highlight tape. But guess what? When the coach comes and sees you play, they're going to see a whole game.
Yeah.
And guess what? In a highlight tape, you would think J.R. Smith was one of the best players ever to play in the NBA. Right?
Yep.
You would think he was in comparison with LeBron. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
Yeah.
So work on your skill. Get up at 6 in the morning. Instead of worried about how to do your reel on Instagram, get better at your skills. And then coaches will come and see a full game and realize that that's what you want to do. I mean, recruiting is starting in 7th, 8th, 9th, 10th grade now. And it's just so frustrating that, like, instead of worrying about getting better, we're worrying about highlighting what we're already great at, or what we're good at, or our best hit, or our best shot. And it's like, I think as parents, that's what, if I'm telling parents what they can do, it's to like teach them the basics of working hard. Cause as a coach, I want to see somebody that's going to continually get better.
But the other thing too, you can call this a pet peeve or whatever. Let the coaches coach.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pet peeve of mine, is parents who are constantly in the ears of their kids while they're playing, which is maybe not what the coach is there to do. You know,
parents are selfish.
Let the coach be the coach. That's why I loved Mike Matheny, who was a catcher for a long time in Major League Baseball, mm-hmm. a very good one. The Matheny Manifesto is when he was – after his injuries had taken their toll and he's no longer playing, and he was asked by a bunch of parents, would you coach our travel team? And he came up with the Matheny Manifesto.
Wow.
And the Matheny Manifesto was, I will do this, but here are your rules. Miss a practice, here's the consequence. If you call me and ask why my kid isn't playing, he won't be playing. Let the coach be the coach.
Oh, I agree 100%. But going back to my original point, you don't know your physical, what you're going to finish at. Just because you're tall when you're 7 or 8, doesn't going to mean you're tall when you're 13, 14, and 15. That's why I say, hey, let the kid play all the sports. And then if he stops growing, he can still play golf. He can still play baseball. Like I say, if he's a big old brute, he can play football and basketball. But physical size does matter. That's why I think you used to say some kids, like, they peak out when they're 13, 14, 15.
Oh, let me ask you this question, both again, as parents, and you talked about Christiana, who's like, I don't really love it. What if your kid, and I think this is a message just for everybody out there who's got kids who are playing, what if your kid's really talented? Really got skills, really got, hey, you know, this could take him or her to a D1, you know, program. But they say, I'm not enjoying it. I don't like it. How do you navigate that in terms of telling them what their possibilities might be as opposed to what they want to do?
But Candace said something to Ernie. So when I sit Christiana down, I said, Christiana, do you like sports? She says, Dad, I don't like sports. I said, you know what? That's fine.
Mm-hmm.
She's a great student. She's a great mom and everything. But Candace's point, Ernie, if you don't like the play, you can be a good player just on talent. You can never be a great player if you don't love the game because it's too physically demanding. All sports are physically demanding, but talent will get you only so far. But if you ever want to be great, you got to love it.
And I couldn't agree more. I think that's the biggest thing is, you know, you got to love what you do. I often find players that would just go out and play, and I couldn't understand it because I ate, slept, breathed basketball. I have all-star games that he played in on tape delay, on VHS tapes at my house, that I would just rewatch and rewatch and rewatch. And I could tell you a play from 2001 all-star. Like, I could tell you a play from the playoffs. I love basketball. I'm obsessed with it. And I would find players like that I would grow up playing with that weren't like that. And that's okay. You can find what you're obsessed with. My job as a parent is to help you find that. And it doesn't have to be sports. It can be right. something. But you got to find your passion in something. Sir. And you got to work hard at it.
Because I tell kids, when I speak to colleges and high schools and things like that, I say, listen, you got to remember something. You're here to get the education. Because I said, if you go to the pros, that's a bonus. I said, but 99% of y'all going to have to go out and get a real job. But it's got to be something you want to do. Because the job you get, you got to have it for the next 30, 40, 50 years. And if you don't like it, you're never going to reach your full potential as a person because you're going to walk around miserable like, damn, I got to get up and do this crap-ass job again. You can't be a happy person like that in the rest of your life. Yeah. Not just your job life. If you hate your job, can you imagine trying to be a good parent? I think it's all intertwined.
Sure.
But yeah. you know, just to add one more thing, you know, what's crazy is I think there's two things. I think there's the fact that parents spend thousands and thousands of dollars on youth sports mm-hmm. when sometimes it's like they're to get a D1 scholarship, to say you have a D1 scholarship, because you're paying just as much in youth sports as you would for a D1 education right. or a mm-hmm. college education, I should say. And then secondly, I don't know what it's like to be Candace Parker's daughter.
Yeah.
I never grew up that way. I remember being Anthony Parker's sister, but I never grew up being my daughter. And so I guess my thing is, just because I love basketball and that's what has been my passion, it's not yours, or it won't be yours, or it doesn't have to be yours. But again, like helping you as a parent find your passion.
But that's why it's important as a parent, because I've been in this thing 40 years.
Dang!
I know.
Been in what thing?
The NBA.
Okay.
I have seen so many relationships ruined mm-hmm. because parents, first of all, we all want our kids to be successful. But the chances of your son going to the NBA, we got a few of them.
You don't think that the percentage is a little higher when your dad played in the NBA?
No.
You don't think so?
I think if you look at if you look at the numbers, there's probably 20 to 30 guys whose son played in the NBA, but that's just a small percentage.
That'd be an interesting one to look up.
It would really
I want to know the percentage of like
if because you, I think a lot of those kids, when you grow up in that environment and you're hanging out at NBA
practice.
That don't mean you're gonna play.
I know, but I'm
the
just saying.
The Currys are anomaly.
Excuse me.
Anomaly.
Anomaly. That was an Auburn word.
Okay.
Okay.
I didn't graduate. I left school after 3 years.
That's his routine.
Okay. No, but seriously, yeah. I mean, there's obviously gonna be exception to the rules, but I think in my 40 years, there's been so much tension between dads and sons, and the pressure comes from the public because everybody in the public think like, well, you're this guy's son. You're going to be a great player. It doesn't work like that.
You think it's just the public? You don't think it's the parents?
Well, I think sometimes your parents obviously do, but my brothers, people like, you're Charles Barkley's brother. You're going to be good at basketball, right? Well, I'm the only one in my family going to the NBA, but it put a strain on me and my brother's relationship. He's like, yo, man, why does everybody think I'm going to be good? My other brother didn't even play basketball. But when he started getting old enough, they're like, you're going to play basketball now, right? He's like, I don't play basketball.
Not the way it works.
Yeah, but so I feel so – some of these young kids – feel so much pressure because of who their dad is. And that's what your point coming in. As a parent, you got to make sure you help your kid with self-esteem.
Exactly.
Yeah. A couple other things before we let you bounce. So if you get in line behind Candace in a coffee shop, and you're saying, hey, this line has really taken a long time, it's probably because it takes her so long just to get her order out. Hot venti oat milk latte with one pump of pumpkin spice syrup. That's the go-to?
That's my go-to. I've officially been California'd.
Yep.
That's what we're going to call it.
You pay money for coffee?
I do. I love coffee. Coffee, wine, and food.
I had some this morning. I did the...
What's your order?
In the morning, it'd be a Grande Extra Hot Two Splenda Latte. Grande Extra Hot.
I mean, that's as many words as the...
No, there's no pumpkin spice syrup pump, one pump, all that stuff.
Give or take.
And I tried coffee.
You don't ever drink coffee?
Never.
Wow.
But I read this article, how coffee was good for you. This is like, I think, 3 years ago. It said like dementia and all these other diseases. And I'm like, well, let me try it. They say it's good for you. So the first day I tried it, I says, this is the worst tasting.
It's an acquired taste.
The worst tasting shit I've ever had in my life.
You go hot or extra hot?
Oh, extra hot.
Extra hot, me too.
Extra hot.
So that it stays warmer. If you just get the...
regular,
within 10 minutes or so, it's like, hey, this is not it. Anyway.
How can something be extra hot?
It's the way they make it.
Yeah, make it extra hot.
Like, it comes
it's
hot.
It's true. But they can make
it's like
it
large
extra
and
hot.
Extra large.
I know the difference between extra large and large, woman. Yeah.
Hot but, and extra hot.
Like it's hot. Maybe I got to learn something. I'm like, hey, it's hot. It's extra hot. Like, how can it be extra hot?
Yeah. There's also a Grande Extra Hot Soy Chai.
Oh, I can't do soy.
With a little honey in there.
That's what you do?
Yeah.
Okay, I can't Sometime do soy. In the I afternoon. Do oat milk. Yeah. Oat milk's my jam.
Okay, I'll try that.
What's the difference between oat milk and regular milk?
A lot.
Oat.
Yeah, it doesn't come from a cow.
There's an animal called oat?
Oh, my goodness.
I'm just asking.
Oh, my God.
You said it don't come from a cow. Is there an oat animal?
I don't know.
Have you ever had
either.
Almond milk?
No, I don't drink
Allergic
milk.
Allergic to almonds. Can't do that.
I don't do milk.
Okay.
My brother. So I was the last one to get up, and my brothers would always leave the milk. We always got... When we were poor, so we always got Cheerios. We didn't know they were good for your heart. I do know that now. And then when my mom got a bonus, we would get Raisin Brands. But my brothers would always leave the milk out.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing worse in the world than warm milk.
Yep. No, it's bad.
And so I haven't had milk probably since I was 17.
Like just milk or milk products? Like you don't have anything with milk in it?
Well, do we count ice cream as that?
Oh, yeah.
Because
that has milk in it.
I love ice cream. I mean, you can't get this big not eating ice cream.
But, I got a question for
but
you.
But I haven't had milk since 16, 17 years old.
Tell the truth. Tell the truth on this one.
Yeah.
You ever go to the fridge and take a swig of milk out of the bottle and then put it back?
I have not done that, Ernie. I'm telling you, I haven't had
like
milk.
When you were growing up.
We had a carton, number one.
A carton, well,
yeah.
You can still.
Yes, I've taken a swig out the carton
and put it back in.
Yes, it's the same damn family.
Okay, I just wondered.
Okay, but that was like I say, I'm not even exaggerating. I haven't had milk since I was in high school.
Candace, have you done that?
I have. Me I do too. That with juice in my house now. Three? Sorry, sorry, family.
It's your family.
I still do that.
It's
so I was like, yesterday.
Sometimes you don't want a whole glass.
It was yesterday.
I just want a taste of that
orange
juice.
I wouldn't go to your house and take a swig of milk out the fridge or Candace's house.
Because I leave the milk out if I knew you were coming over.
You can do stuff like that at your own house. That's like, let me tell you something.
Yeah, but when you have people come over, do you offer them milk?
No. What they need milk for?
Or juice. I'm saying is
oh, hey, there better be some vodka with that juice.
Drink juice from my house because it's...
That's like, Candace.
I drank out the juice.
That's like when you drop some on the floor at home. Of course you got to pick it up and eat it.
Last thing. Why number three?
32 was retired at Tennessee.
Mm-hmm.
Deja Charles wore 32, so it got retired. My dad's number in high school and college was number 32, so I wore that all through high school. I got to Tennessee, and I needed to switch my number. I was a huge Allen Iverson fan.
Everybody is.
I had the finger bands. I had, at one point, the cornrows. I had to get rid of those. But I had the cornrows with the headband. I thought I was AI, so I switched it to number three.
The reason I get on this number three thing is because, remember on Saturday Night Live, they had a routine where they were honoring all those who had hosted five times, I think it was. Five times?
I'm close.
The Five Timers Club. Was Steve Martin in that?
I think he is.
And some others. And Tom Hanks. And they would come out and they'd give them a robe, like a smoking jacket that said, hey, I'm part of the five, whatever. So anyways, that's a Five Timers Club. So I bring that up because the first member of the Three Timers Club on the Steam Room is Candace Parker.
Wait, this your third time?
This is her third time.
Here, but I've done your show three
times. Yeah, she's done the show three
last times. Last time you were like Grizzly Adams living out in the wild.
No, I was camping in Tennessee. It was just, yeah.
Did you remember that already?
Yes.
I'm not a camper. I realize that. I'm a glamper. I'm not a camper. Yeah.
So we're black people. We don't do outdoors.
We don't go camping.
Black people don't go camping.
That's a story for another podcast.
Ernie goes caroling. Tell him black people.
Tell him
black people don't carol. Let me tell you something. In the hood, we saw a bunch of black people coming up singing, it's all hell going to break loose.
Well, happy holidays to you. So anyway, we only thought it would be fitting because you're the first member of the Three Timers Club that we have something for you. And Sabelle is here to do the honors.
Thank you.
What an emotional ceremony here. What an emotional ceremony this is.
This is amazing.
The official steam room bathrobe. Look at that.
Can we get one closer to her size?
That is perfect.
So can I keep it? Can I keep the robe?
That's not my call, Candace. I don't know if this is just for show.
Hey, listen, just let me answer that, Ernie. That's a hard no.
No, Candace.
But we only got one.
Candace, no, there's two hanging up behind you.
Oh, okay.
Candace, I would say this. If you take it with you, nobody's going to stop you, but I'm also hearing that it might actually be TK's.
Oh, Lord.
But it's a comfy robe, isn't it? Very, very comfy.
There you go. Why do you keep killing yourself?
That's the finale.
That's the third time I told you.
I don't want to move the mic.
You can move it back.
I like my robe.
Yeah.
It's really nice.
Hey, and that's an embroidered steam room right there.
Nice. Look at this.
Cheap. Look at that action.
I'm going to make some calls, Candace. I don't want you wearing TK's old funky robe. I'm going to get you your own.
You're going to make some calls?
I'm going to make some
calls. You can make that happen?
I'm going to call Godfather.
I would take that one. I'd wash it on really hot.
That's right.
Extra hot.
Oh, there you go.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks,
I appreciate
Candace.
It. I'll have to change my number to number four if I come on here.
Thank you for being here.
Can't wait to work with you tonight.
Can't wait.
On TNT.
Chuck. Man, are you so much better looking, smarter, kinder, sweeter, thinner than Shaq? A lot of words.
Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Come and join us in Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in Steam Room. Leave your towel on in Steam Room.
Chuck and Ernie in the Steam Room. Chuck and Ernie in the Steam Room. Leave your towel on in the Steam Room.
One of the finest singing performances of Chuckster's career.
Yeah.
Easily. Not even close. Because it's not over the top. It's not your karaoke thing. It's really.
Wait, are you saying my
karaoke? No, your karaoke's horrible. But that was good.
I got a new song now. Did I tell you?
Yeah, you did. I think you did.
I haven't been doing Frank Sinatra lately. I've been doing Heaven by Kane Brown.
Right. Yeah, you told me that.
Yeah.
In fact, we asked you to sing some last week or two
I
weeks
need
ago.
Need the words.
And you did.
And some alcohol.
And you sang a little bit.
No.
I've been trying to forget it.
Hey, nobody. How many people?
It was asking? Not heaven to me.
I would love to see a poll. I guarantee it's a landslide. How many people? Nobody does karaoke sober. Okay. You first of all, to get up there in front of all them people, you got to have some liquid courage.
You do?
Oh, I like to drink and do karaoke.
Not necessarily in that order.
That's right. That's right.
Hey, it's time for Chuck's answering machine.
Let's do it.
What's the number?
404-987.
Yep.
0440.
0330.
Darn.
Man, you're getting so close.
I am getting close.
404-987-0330 if you want to leave Chuck a message like this one.
Hello, world. This is Charles Barkley. Leave me a message.
Chuck, I'm curious. If you were blessed with a full head of hair right now at your age, I wonder what sort of hairstyle would you be rocking? I'll hang up and listen.
Would you go back to the Auburn days?
No, no. Number one, good call. Number one, I love being bald. It just takes so much BS out of play. You know, I shave my head every day. I don't have to worry about no hair products. Don't have to worry about...
Put a little moisturizer on that, a little something on top of your dome after
I
you shave it.
I actually never do.
Really?
I never put moisturizer on. I
don't try that.
No, no. I shave my head and I'm gone. I wouldn't want to have hair.
If you didn't shave your head,
I'd have a donut.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd have a big hole in the top of my head.
You ought to do that.
For what?
Just for fun.
Then I look like
Let's just watch Chuckster try to grow some hair.
Like then I look like a damn fool, like Kenny does right now. Hey, guys, Shaq was killing Kenny last week, and I was like, yo, man, he's trying to grow a beard. And it was patchy, and Shaq wouldn't give him a break. And I was like, yo, man, leave that man alone till his beard comes in.
We'll see what it looks like tonight.
It should be a pretty good, because it was decent last week. But he did have a couple of bald spots.
Mm-hmm.
But no, I got a big hole in the top of my head. Like, I'm so tall, I grew through my hair.
So, but the answer is you could let your hair grow if you wanted to.
No, but I'm not that. I could, but I'm not that stupid. But to answer his question, I don't want to have to deal with all, you know, you see people, first you got Jared Greenberg.
That's some moss right there.
Half man, half makeup, and hair tonic.
He got some moss.
He got some, yeah, but it's like, it takes him longer than his wife to get ready.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't want to take that time. I like just shaving my head, jumping in my stuff, and going.
All right. Next call.
Hey, Charles. Hearing you guys talk to handsome King Henrik last week reminded me that another one of your man crushes, Jason Momoa, just hosted Saturday Night Live. Did you see it? And where does Jason Momoa rank on your man crush Mount Rushmore?
You know what? First of all, I did not know Jason Momoa was from Iowa.
No, I did not know that either.
He looks like, he had talked about it and I'd seen him before. He looks like he's like The Rock from Hawaii. And then he's from somewhere in Iowa. And Jason Momoa, I'm a big fan, but I look at him as more sexy than great looking. I can call another man sexy. Jason Momoa.
Can you?
Yeah, you can if you're confident in yourself.
Okay.
So, same way I look at Idris Elba. Idris Elba's on my bucket list to meet also. He's a sexy man.
Okay.
I look at him and, like, Tom Brady's a pretty man. Hank Lundqvist, that's a pretty man, too. He ain't Tom Brady. Rob Lowe's a pretty man.
But the King and Brady are not sexy.
They just good looking. Rob Lowe, the same thing. But when you look at Jason Momoa, Idris Elba, they just got that sexy vibe.
Next call, please.
Hi, Ernie and Chuck. This is Reed Kimura. I'm from a small town in McMinnville, Oregon. Big fan of the Portland Trail Blazers, but I just wanted to thank you for your podcast. I'm a loyal steamer. I'm a teacher here in McMinnville. I used to teach in the classroom, elementary school, but now I'm a physical education teacher, and we constantly are looking for BlackBerry moments in class. So thank you, Ernie. We take the time at the end of class to find one or two good things that people or the kids have seen in each other, and we call it our BlackBerry moments. And I guess I have a question for both of you. What was your favorite game that you ever played in PE class? Thanks. Have a great one. Keep up the great work. Love you guys.
favorite game. Thank you very much for the call, by the way. And thanks for the BlackBerry moments.
Thanks for being a teacher.
Thanks for being a teacher.
And we need more teachers who are male. But I admire anybody who's a teacher. Shout out to your daughter Maggie. But thank you for being a teacher.
Okay, so favorite PE game.
Dodgeball. Easy question, brother.
Dodgeball?
Yep, easy question.
Did you play a lot of dodgeball at PE?
Yes. Because you get tired of playing basketball. I was too much of a puss to play football. I told you I played that one day.
Yeah.
You can never play enough dodgeball.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of, there weren't many other games.
No.
Aside from that, yeah, dodgeball was.
Great.
Dodgeball was a lot of fun.
Did
you like the movie?
That was Norm, not Norm, Mike Ditka was in it, wasn't he?
I don't know about Mike Ditka, but the star of that, come on, help me, Cap.
Will Ferrell.
Ben Stiller.
Ben Stiller.
Vince Vaughn,
yeah.
Were both in there.
Oh, man. Vince Vaughn.
And who was the crotchety old coach who said, Rip Torn. Dodge a wrench, dodge a ball.
Dodge a wrench. Yeah. It was all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. It
wasn't nearly as good as the book.
That's right. It was definitely no Remember the Titans.
Yeah. But it was entertaining. It was fun.
It was.
It was funny.
That was a good call. That was some three good calls.
Yeah. And so based on a call we got last week, one of the callers said, you know what? You need to throw a new segment onto the Steam Room.
Yes.
Called Good for the Soul. And so here we go for the first time.
All right.
EJ is good for the soul.
I think that would be a great way to end the show.
Love that idea.
Good idea, Ernie. A toast to my big brother, George, the richest man in town.
Love the way they put that together. And that's one of those lines from It's a Wonderful Life.
Yep.
That gets me every time. I've seen that movie 3 billion times.
And don't you watch that like every Christmas?
Of course. And that final scene always gets me. Have you watched It's a Wonderful Life start to finish?
I don't think I have.
You need to.
I don't think I have.
You need to. It's awesome.
Yeah.
It really is. Okay, so good for the soul this time. So stuff that makes you feel good, stuff
yes.
that restores your faith in humanity, that kind of thing. So I don't know if you saw what Jimmy Fallon did the other night with The Rock.
Really?
Dwayne Johnson. Yeah. So they went to FAO Schwartz in New York, the huge
store. Oh, yeah,
toy
the huge store.
And one of the things they did was pretty funny because they got behind like this machine that that had arms sticking out. And so Jimmy Fallon's in the back with his arms through this thing. And he's back there with The Rock and they got a microphone and shoppers are just kind of wandering around. And somebody says, if you push the button, you'll get a holiday message and that kind of thing. And so they're messing with him. And then Dwayne Johnson just walks around the wall and surprises all these people. It was awesome. And then to top it off, he had this announcement.
Well, you had one more thing you wanted to tell everybody.
I do, yes. So I know that you guys haven't bought your gifts yet. So I have my Acorns debit card. You all come with me. Gifts are on me right now. Let's go down to the register.
Happy holidays!
Let's go!
And to that, moments like that, where you can, a store full of people, and all of a sudden, not just, hey, there's The Rock. Well, we got to see The Rock while we were shopping. It was just like, I have not met him face to face.
He's great.
Remember, he was on, we've had him on the show before.
Yes.
And remember, he threw Underdog in the pool
down
there when Underdog was producing a live shot.
He's a good dude.
Love that, man. I just love it, guys, taking the time.
Jimmy's a good dude, too. I don't know Jimmy Fallon as well as I know Dwayne. Me and Dwayne aren't great, great friends. But the few times I have been around him, man, he is just a good dude with a pure heart.
Yeah.
I go back, I actually met him in college with Warren Sapp. That's how long I've known him.
Wow.
And I'm a big WWE fan.
Right.
Uh, And I've been going to matches for a long time. You know, we got the AEW, my man Chris Jericho on Turner. So I've always been a big wrestler. And listen, one of my favorite people in the world is Ric Flair. But that was really cool for him to do that. And that's what, you know, we talked about it last week about stuff like that for Christmas, what it should be.
Right.
Not what it's become, what it should be.
Yep.
And shout out to The Rock and Jimmy Fallon, man, for doing something special like that. That's a good one to start at, yeah. Ernest.
And you know what else? And you know what else was just on a personal level was a great good for your soul moment was, look, we had 37 people at our house for Thanksgiving.
Damn.
37. And most of that family had a few friends that we live in the neighborhood who came by. But there is something really special about the moment before we all dive into that turkey. And 37 of us are sitting there, and from ages 1 to 89 or whatever my father-in-law is.
Yeah.
And everybody grabs a paw, everybody grabs a hand, we say a blessing, we kind of look around that room, and you realize how cool Thanksgiving is and how blessed you are.
Yeah.
And those are the moments that are good for the soul. So
yeah. You know, we talked a little bit about this earlier. I'm going to give a shout out to this young black woman. I don't know her name. I don't know even, I think she's from California. So I was watching television this week, and they got the whole thing caught on Ring camera. And this young baby, 3 years old, I think, if I remember correctly, wanders out. And then like 5 or 6 minutes later, you see him floating in the pool. And then one of the adults run out screaming, jumps in the pool. And this young black woman had just learned CPR.
And she's a teenager, right?
She's 15.
Yeah.
And she brings this kid back to life. Wow. Man, it was a Thanksgiving party too. But I can't remember her name, but I saw her on television, her and her mom, and man, it just made me, because you're celebrating Thanksgiving, you find a kid in the pool, and she had just learned CPR. And man, I just want to say thank you. Hey, everybody should know CPR. Try to go, please, if you go somewhere, because the one in a million times you might have to use it could be that dramatic and that powerful. So if you get a chance, every young person especially, please learn CPR.
That's a heck of a way to end the show.
Yes,
right
it
there.
Is. Yes.
I like that. I like ending the show on an upbeat
on a good
note like that. And yeah, that's awesome. So that's your first Good for the Soul segment, which will follow Chuck's answering machine.
Good job, Ernest.
And try to bring things back to some place of normalcy, if that's at all possible.
Yeah, with our crew.
That is the
Abby, Cap, and Audie and everybody. We need some normalcy.
That, ladies and gentlemen, would be that for the 102nd episode of The Steam Room.
Yes.
Can't wait to talk at y'all next week. See you.